1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? Board of Votes Values is currently seeking volunteers to help produce a voter guide in your county. If you are interested in helping voters vote their values, visit www.floridavotesvalues.com and send us a message. Again, that's www.floridavotesvalues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Long.
2 weeks ago, we asked the question, is it the federal government's job to provide everything for you? And we talked about how Governor Cuomo blamed Donald Trump for people dying and said if the federal government doesn't provide ventilators for the state of New York, that it will be Donald Trump's fault. And we asked the question, is it the federal government's job to provide ventilators for the state of New York or for any state for that matter? In fact, is it what role should the federal government play? How large should government be? What should government do? Well, to answer these questions, we started looking at the Bible. That's the first place, and that's an awesome place to begin. And really, it's where we should base our views. We should base our views on the Bible. The Bible speaks to all areas of life, including government. So it's not just about my relationship with God, my relationship with other people, but it's also God also deals with not only individuals, but families, churches, and cities, states, and nations. And we can read the Bible and we can see what the Bible has to say about these things. And we're going to continue looking at the Bible on these issues and continue to ask some questions and to look, and we're going to do some reviewing, but you can go and view the previous sermon that was preached. You can view that on our Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. Also, you can also go to our website, covenanttabernacle.com. God's people, God had delivered Israel out of slavery. You would think that they would be ecstatic that he had delivered them out of slavery and that they would trust him and fully believe that he could actually provide for them, that he could meet their needs, that he could give them the land. But we know that they didn't do that. They said, the spies, there were the two good spies, Joshua and Caleb, and then there were 10 spies that said, hey, the land is great. The land does flow with milk and honey, but there's giants there, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't take the land. And so the people, the children of Israel were fearful, and they had to roam through the wilderness for 40 days or for 40 years. One of the things that happened is that God gave them food every day. Manna, all they had to do was go out and collect it. But they got tired of that. By the way, they were free men. They used to be slaves, but they were free. But they actually started craving the types of food that they used to eat when they were slaves. And they said in Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel again wept and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. And so the children of Israel actually longed for the benefits of slavery and desired the benefits of slavery over freedom. And here in America, we see some of the same types of things happening. We have had a free country. We've had a country where you could literally go, and many people have, go from being poor, dirt poor, having nothing, not even always having enough food, to actually being very wealthy. And yet we see people crying out for socialism, crying out for the government to provide everything for them, crying out really and willing to give up freedom so that we can have the benefits of slavery. The children of Israel also in 1 Samuel 8, Samuel had been judging them, and he was getting old, and his sons were then judging him, and his sons weren't righteous and upright like Samuel was. And the children of Israel started to groan, and they cried out to Samuel to give them a king. This displeased Samuel. In verse 7, we see the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked for a king. And he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them over his chariots, and he will and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. Will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some will make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your sons, he will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give them to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys, and put them to work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourself, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, "No, but we will have a king to rule over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed their voice and make them a king." And Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Every man go to his city." Here we see God defining what tyranny looks like. And part of that is a 10% tax. You see, any government that requires as much of you as God requires of you is a tyrannical government, is a government that is overstepping its bounds, overstepping the bounds of what God has ordained. Now, do you see anywhere in here where it says that the government will appoint doctors to head up the CDC? They'll have regulatory agencies that are going to regulate businesses. You know, in the previous president, under President Obama, the Gibson Guitar Factory was actually raided by federal agents because of a type of wood that they were using, I believe, in the bridge of a guitar, because that wood came from a tree that was protected from a forest somewhere in another country. Very small piece of wood, by the way. We have seen huge amounts of really, federal government regulation. In fact, our federal government is so large that if the federal government were to shrink to the size that is authorized by the U.S. Constitution and by the Bible, it would put our country into a recession, because the federal government spends so much money. There's such a large percentage of our population that is employed by the federal government, and they spend a huge amount of money. By the way, that's not to say that it shouldn't happen. We should demand that the federal government get out of and get rid of any task that is not authorized by the Word of God and that is not authorized by the Constitution. 2 weeks ago, I quoted from memory what Benjamin Franklin said in Poor Richard's Almanac. I didn't quite get it exactly correct, but he said this: it would be a hard government that would tax its people 1/10 part of their income. So at the time of the founding of the country, it was viewed as absurd that the government would tax its people 1/10 part of their income. Yet today we have, in fact, there are some people that don't pay any taxes and they get money back. But and by the way, when I say they don't pay any taxes, I'm talking about federal income tax, because everyone pays taxes. We pay payroll tax. There's a whole bunch of other taxes that we do pay. But just the federal income tax bracket, I mean, we have people that are paying more than 30% of their income to the federal government. If a family is wealthy and they want to pass that wealth on to their children, the federal government is there saying, wait a minute, I'm going to take that money, or I'm going to take a large portion of that money. And some people say, well, I'm not wealthy, so it doesn't matter to me. Well, it should matter to you, because God says, thou shalt not steal. And when the government takes money from people, a larger percentage really than what God authorizes, even a much larger percentage than what God defines as tyranny, then that government is actually stealing. And, if I walk up to you with a gun and I say, give me all your money, or give me a 30% of your money, give me 30% of your paycheck, I could be arrested and should be arrested for stealing. But if the federal government comes to you through your employer and says, take 30% of his paycheck, then we say, well, that's okay. It's not okay. The Bible says in the Ten Commandments, you shall not steal. The Bible also says in the 10th commandment, this is key, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. We have an entire political philosophy today. This philosophy that is crying out for the government to provide for me, meet my needs, provide everything for me. Well, how would the government provide everything for you? The government would have to take money from someone else to give to you. And quite often, what we see is a call for taxing the rich, taxing the wealthy. And we hear people talking about taxing and taking money from billionaires. There's not enough billionaires in the United States to take money from them to fund the government. You may have heard that the problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. And that is true. Eventually you do. You run out of you. We can't There's not enough money that the wealthy have to take from it. But even if there was, it would be wrong to ask the government to take money from the wealthy so that we can have some of that money. That is covetous. You know, listen, Warren Buffett is rich, but I'm wrong if I covet what he has. Now, I remember growing up and seeing a car that I liked, and I asked my dad, well, wouldn't you like to have that? And he said, well, that's someone else's car. I can't covet. That's God. God doesn't want me to covet. We are supposed to be content with what God has given us. We are to live within our means, and even to live below our means, as we're going to talk about in a little bit, live below our means so that we can actually save up so that when there is a rainy day, when there is a economic recession, that we have enough funds to get us through. So it is a sin to covet what someone else has. If someone else is successful, good for them. God bless them. And hopefully they'll use that money, not just for themselves, but also hopefully they'll use that money for furthering the kingdom of God, which is the purpose of wealth. The Bible tells us that in Deuteronomy, that God gives us the power to get wealth so that he might establish his kingdom. So, by the way, you have that power also. You have the power to get wealth. Now, having the power to get wealth doesn't mean that you get wealth automatically. There's some effort that you have to put into it. Perhaps that effort would be increasing your knowledge, gaining new skills. Maybe it's innovating. Maybe it's thinking of a new idea, something that no one else has thought of in the past, or thinking of a new way of doing something that someone else has already thought of, but a better way, a way that's more efficient, a way that can deliver the goods to the people at a lower cost. You have the power to get wealth. Every one of us has the power to get wealth, and especially in this nation, we have the ability to actually improve ourselves and where we are. Now, we're going to look also at what God says the purpose of government is. By the way, you can read throughout the Bible, and you should. I would encourage you, as you read the Bible, look not only for what God talks to you about, but also what God directs for the government as well, and apply these principles to our government. This is what God requires. In Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. And because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we see here the reason that the government is instituted by God is to reward the righteous and to punish the wicked. One of the things that we see quite often, the people that believe that we should have a big government, that government should provide everything for you. One of the things that the people that believe this, one of the biggest complaints they have is about the criminal justice system and two, the amount we spend on military. Now, I would say that we definitely don't do everything right in either the criminal justice system or the military. In fact, we have deviated from God's principles of justice. And we need to look in the Bible and return to a principle of justice. We also should not try to be the police officers of the world. Our armed forces, we are in way too many conflicts, and we finally now have a president that is actually reining that back and is making other countries pay their fair share and is actually getting us out of wars. Whereas previous presidents, including Obama, that ran on getting out of wars, he got us into more wars than we were in when before he took office. But we see here that criminal prosecution is one of the few areas that God actually authorizes the government to be involved in. And you can look in the Old Testament, and including that passage in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and you'll see that God does authorize the government to be involved in military, to have a military, not for the purpose of conquering, but for the purpose of protecting society and protecting against those who would try to run roughshod over us. We also look at the Constitution, because the Constitution was, by the way, designed by our founding fathers, but it wasn't just designed in a vacuum. It was largely based on the Word of God. And the Constitution says the powers not delegated to the U.S., to the United States, by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states or reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Let me read that again. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. If you believe that the federal government should be doing something, you need to look first at the Constitution and see whether the Constitution authorizes that. The Constitution, by the way, does not authorize the CDC. It does not authorize the federal government to provide ventilators. It does not authorize most of what the federal government does is not authorized by the Bible or the Constitution. And so one of the things that we need to realize is, and we need to study the Bible, see what the Bible has to say about government, and also study the Constitution. Don't just listen to a constitutional lawyer that tells you, well, the government can do this because of this. No, read the Constitution for yourself and see what the Constitution says. One of the things that happens because we have had these bailouts is that there's a loss of personal and corporate responsibility. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 23 through 27 says, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself, the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, and the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for food of your household and the nourishment of your maidservants." Now, as we've mentioned in the past, the federal government didn't shut down states or didn't shut down businesses, but in large part the state government did, or in some places municipalities did. But the federal government is the one that's bailing people out. There should, by the way, be a compensation when the government tells you you can't go to work. There should be compensation. But we have to realize, first of all, I oppose, and the Bible doesn't authorize the government to tell businesses to shut down. The Constitution doesn't authorize the government to tell businesses to shut down. The fact that we've had these bailouts, though, and we can go back to 2008, we can go back to today, you know, what we're seeing today, the government giving out money, in fact, even printing money, borrowing money from future generations to give money to people. And by the way, I'm not saying people don't need the money. I'm not saying that people aren't in need. But what this does is it removes our responsibility to provide for ourselves and to store some money aside and to make sure that we have what is needed for the future. Because why? We know that the next time there's a problem in the United States, Congress will just print more money. We know that our government will provide more money. They'll meet our needs. So we have a loss of personal and corporate responsibility. It's time that we return to the principles of the Word of God and the principles of the Constitution and call for the federal government to reduce its size and scope so that we might have, once again, a government that is in accordance with God's Word, a government that is in accordance with the principles of the Constitution. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? Board of Votes Values is currently seeking volunteers to help produce a voter guide in your county. If you are interested in helping voters vote their values, visit www.floridavotesvalues.com and send us a message. Again, that's www.floridavotesvalues.com.